Thank you for joining us for part two of Aaron Wuntz's interview with the Barnabas Project. If you'd like to hear part one, you can find it in your feed. But thank you for joining us today and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, this is Molly Pagos. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4squared.com, lg4squared.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4squared.com. Thanks and enjoy the show.
So God ended up bringing us back to Eastern Oregon, but it was Baker City where we landed. So that was kind of interesting. So I was like, oh, we're close to the Grand. It was such a weird time. One of the reasons why I call it 7 years in the desert, it's just like the weirdest things would happen to us. Like, I remember, you know, the first unemployment check Chris got, like, it blew out the window of our car. It was just like, what is happening? Yeah. And then...
And then, it rains and pours. Wow.
Yeah, and I can tell you just crazy things. So then when we moved to Portland, our apartment actually had a swimming pool. So we're like, oh, that's cool. You know, we'll go in the swimming pool. And we ended up like getting this weird, like some kid had this like skin problem and we both got, yeah. And that's why it feels like the Job story or something. Cause we both ended up getting these sores on our bodies that didn't go away and they kept reoccurring. And it took us a year to get rid of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was super weird and hard. And I was just like, what is happening to me? You know?
Wow.
And yeah, Chris was still having some health problems too in Portland. It did get a little bit better, but that was still happening. And then, so Chris ended up like getting back into wildland firefighting because that was something he was skilled in and could do and everything. And I remember like he would get some jobs before Baker, he would get some jobs here and there. And then like the weirdest things would happen, like just something to where you'd have to come off the fire and not be able to complete it. And so we'd like feel like we missed out on that employment opportunity and like the money that could have come from that. So like that kind of thing kept happening. And yeah. And then, so we ended up moving to Baker City because he found a job. So this was a more steady job fighting fire in the summer there. And so we're like, okay, great. You know, like at least we have that and we can like be back near La Grande and, you know, start like commuting to Faith Center. Cause we love this church and really felt connected here. And so and this is another crazy thing that happened. When we moved to Baker City, we didn't know what apartment we were going to get beforehand because it was all rushed and we could not find an apartment because we had two cats. And we ended up in this old schoolhouse that felt like a dungeon. And I'm not kidding you. Like it had cement floors and the walls were paper thin and the neighbors were super loud and like yelling and like smoking all the time. And like it was in the summer. So like we wanted to keep our windows open. So, but we couldn't cause it was like smoke was like coming in there. And I just remember being like, Chris, we cannot live here. Like I can't do this. And my cat would like hide in the cupboard and I had to force feed her water. Cause I was like, she's not eating or drinking. Like
the cat was also saying, we can't live here.
Yeah. Cat's like, I'm out. Chris.
So it was crazy.
This isn't gonna work for me either.
We gotta move meow.
Right?
Oh, meow.
Yeah. So, and I remember sleeping on the floor. Like we didn't set up any of our stuff. And I could literally see spiders crawling on the floor while I was trying to sleep. I don't even know where this place is anymore. Like I just blocked it out of my mind so much that I'm like, but anyway, so I prayed so much. I was like, God, I know that like I might have to live here, but can I please not? And I just
can we somehow draw the line here?
Yeah. And thankfully we did. We found a different apartment. It was only like 3 weeks, only 3 weeks that we lived there, but we thankfully found another place and it was awesome. I was like, this place is nice. Like, yes, you know, I was so thankful. So, you know, I speak of hard things that have happened, but God had also done a lot of good things too. Like, I just remember times when like we were just like, oh my gosh, we have this bill. What are we going to do? And money would come in somehow, like in just a way I'd never thought it could. And that happened a lot. And so, like, I know he was there, and I know we had to go through it. He was teaching us things, helping us just grow in our relationship with him. You know, I mean, suffering happens so that we can learn from it. But yeah, there definitely was a strain that just continued, and just trying to seek employment and like make finances work and everything, just the busyness of life, and just time just kept going by. And we just kept feeling like, man, we're just getting older and like, we're not going anywhere is what it felt like. And I knew that like those things in the grand scheme of things don't really matter. Like what matters is that we have faith in the Lord and we know where we're going. But it was like, okay, what is our purpose, God? Like it feels like we're just running in circles. So I just remember, yeah, it was hard. Like there was like a lot of nights sometimes where I would just like wake up and couldn't sleep. And I would just be crying out to God, like I'm hurting. Like what? Mm. Yeah. So thankfully, Chris and I had a really strong foundation going into our marriage, because I think a lot of people probably would have split up at that point or before that even. So I knew I had that zeal of life that like, I have to stay in this. My faith is what did that.
So was there ever a question that maybe you guys wouldn't?
Oh, wouldn't make it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I finally just like could not take it anymore. So this was like 6 years in to our marriage, probably like, you know, 3 or 4 years into like the 7 years in the desert. At that time we were house sitting for some people. So we moved all of our stuff again in my piano to save on rent to house sit, which was great. Cause that was like how God wanted to provide for us at the time. But we had some other people, family members living with us. And then we ended up with a family member that was unexpected that started living with us, and it like wasn't agreed upon. And it was just a hard situation. And then that same time was when Chris's parents decided to divorce. So that was really hard on us too. So there was just people living in my house, and I just felt like I couldn't like get a breather. I couldn't like be alone. And I was frustrated at that point. Like I finally just hit this point where I just opened up completely to God, and I got like really real with him. It was the first time that I remember like just being super just open and transparent and like telling God like how I really felt. Cause I think before that, like I would just stuff my emotions. I learned how to avoid conflict, and I never really got like super open with God. And so I just remember like hitting that wall where I was like, I can't do this anymore, God. Like something has to change. I can't keep living like this. And like, I won't keep living like this. And I finally like started to learn boundaries. I even said like, God, like, if you want to take me right now, I would like happily just go up to heaven to be with you. Like, I don't even want to live anymore. And I wasn't like actually going to commit suicide, but it was just like, because I knew him and I knew I had to keep going on. I knew that there was a purpose, even if, and maybe I was living it, but I didn't know if I was. And that like,
you basically didn't have the zeal in life anymore.
Yeah. I started to lose a lot of things. And that was around, and it's interesting because that was around the same time. So we were commuting from Baker City to go to Faith Center. And actually at that time when we were house sitting, that was in La Grande. And a little while before that, I think when we were commuting from Baker City, the worship pastor at the time called me out and he was like, hey, come be on the worship team, you know? And I remember kind of hesitating because I was in such a rut before. Like I wasn't involved in music like I wanted to be. And I just had like insecurities and like a lot of fear and anxiety wrapped around like serving again and that kind of thing. And so I didn't do it right away. And then like a few months later, he asked me again and he just like didn't give up on me. And like, God knows that we can't do this life alone. Like we need people to speak into our lives and tell us our purpose and like guide us along and that. And like, he was one of those people that like just didn't give up. And he was just like, come on, be on the team. And then I finally, after I think like the third time, I was like, yeah, like I love music. Like I should do this. And so I started singing again. And I think that was like when I said, yes, Lord, like I'm willing, even though I'm hurting. And even though I feel like I don't have it all together and like, maybe I shouldn't be up there because I'm struggling with life and you know, that kind of thing. Like God was like, no matter what you're going through, like I can use you in a mighty way. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Good.
So I think because I took that step of faith that then when I was having this breakdown a little while later, God was like, you have a purpose. Like, I'm going to help you through this, but you can't just let life happen to you. And I'd realized, like, yeah, I have choices. I'm not just a puppet on a string. And I realized that I had bad theology. Like, I knew God's power, and I knew that he was real, and I knew that he was in control of all things. And I took that so far that I removed myself from the relationship. And I just was like thinking I needed to just go with the flow of everything, and that I forgot that I have a choice, that a relationship is two people working together.
That's beautiful. It's powerful.
Yeah. And it finally just hit that I needed to start standing up for myself. I needed to start making changes in my life and like really asking God, or just like expecting God to move in my life.
Yeah. Just like when you were a kid, when you were like, God, you can heal this foot if you want to, you know, you had that mentality again, you know, that mindset. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always been one to not give up. Like, I've always been a hard worker. I've always just gone above and beyond wherever I can. And so that's something too, that I took into that moment, was like, no, like, I'm not one to give up, and I've made it this far into like all of this and like into my marriage, that like, I'm not gonna give up. And so I started praying like I had never prayed before. Mm-hmm. And there was a mentor in my life at the time that I spoke these things to. She was like an older lady, and she just really spoke life into me and encouragement, and like led me to where I needed to go to learn how to pray. Because I was like, I feel like I don't even know how to pray. Like, how long have I been a believer? And I'm like, now starting over is kind of what it felt like.
Mm. That's cool though.
And she pointed me to this book called The Power of the Praying Wife by Stormy. I think you say Autumn. I can't never say her last name, but it's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Anyway. I know the book.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I started using that book as a tool to learn how to pray for my husband. So highly recommended. And there's, I think, a version for guys too. So for everybody, highly recommended. I knew that it wasn't just Chris that needed to change. Like, I needed to change. And so that was transforming for me. It was cool because like, I not only saw myself change, but I saw Chris change too, as I was praying. Like, it totally works. Wow. Prayer works.
Listener, if you get anything from today's podcast, prayer works.
Let it be known.
Here it is.
So anyway, yeah, I was just like, okay, things are changing. Like, this is good. And so that was kind of the start of like coming out of the desert, but there were still like really hard things we had to work through. You know, it wasn't just like a switch that like, now everything's great. You know, I mean, there was a lot in there that we had to learn and had to forgive. And yeah, there was a lot. So I remember with the worship team, you come into play eventually, John.
Nice.
This one that gets good.
So yeah, I was serving on the worship team. And so, you know, I grew up playing the piano, and that was always been a part of my life. But it was weird because like I had this hesitation about playing the keyboard for worship. And I think it was like kind of the same thing about same feeling I had like getting back into it with singing. I felt like there was so much like emotion there when I would play, that tied back to like maybe hardships from my family growing up. And like, there was just so much emotion involved that I, and like doing it for worship's different than just like performing, you know, in a jazz band or whatever. But God was always like kind of nudging me towards that. Like when I would, like in Portland, when I listened to the worship band there, which was awesome, I remember like really admiring how the keyboardist played. But I was just like, oh, I can't like see myself in that position. Like, I don't know if I would ever get there. And then going forward again, God was kind of nudging me towards that again. And so I finally just reached out to our worship pastor and was like, okay, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, but I actually play the keyboard, and God's been kind of saying this to me. And so I started playing a little bit, but I was like super, like I had a lot of fear and anxiety, and a lot of like things started to come back from my childhood that I hadn't dealt with before whenever I would play. So it was like really emotional, but God used that to bring healing in those areas that I kind of stuffed away. And then Chong, at the time you were kind of like working towards like being a worship pastor too. I think you were like becoming on staff around that time. So like Chong, you started to really like speak into my life too, which was amazing. So yeah, I kind of just went from there. I remember like, it was like the third time I played, I think. And the song I Can Only Imagine was one I used to play when I was a kid. Like I tinker around with a lot.
Yeah.
And I learned the intro to that. And I remember like playing it. And then you and I were just like, oh, like, I don't think we cried, but we were just like, this is it. Like, I just kind of had like this breakthrough moment of like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to be playing the keyboard on the worship team. And like, that was like when I started to really feel like I was a part of the team and that I was meant to be there. Like, I took ownership over that. So I kept playing for a little bit, but at the time, like, we had a lot of keyboard players. I remember.
Yeah, which
was great. So I was like, you know, in college, I learned how to play the cello a little bit and I love that instrument. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe I should learn the cello because we don't have a cello player and cello sounds awesome in a band.
Yes, it does.
So I started learning the cello and I told the worship pastor at the time, and I didn't know this about him, but he was like, oh my gosh, I love the cello. Like, that's so awesome. And he was super excited. So that made me more excited too, to learn it. And I remember it took about a year for me to feel like I could probably play well enough to like play on the team. And it was like right before that, when the worship pastor ended up leaving the church to go do something else. So I was just like, oh man, like, so that was really hard because I was like, oh, I can now play. And like, you're leaving. And then, and it just kind of reminded me of like my childhood, like when my dad ended up leaving or that kind of thing. So it was like really hard. And so God, what he told me was, he was like, so who are you playing for? You know, me or him? And I was like, oh, you're
great,
right.
Great question. God.
Touché. <Lord. laughs>
Yeah. So I was like, yes, you know, God, I'm playing for you. So like, he knows how to help us through times like that. Like, he is our anchor. He is the one that we should always be playing for and worshiping. But then after that, like, there's a lot of other transition that happened. And now I actually like lead songs too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like a big part of the worship team now. It was, I gotta say, you know, from a worship leader standpoint, it was really fun to watch you sort of start off, you know, from where you were sort of kind of tinkering, I want to say. Like, you knew how to play piano, but you didn't really express yourself at the beginning. And now, like, you are to a place of comfort where you know how to express yourself. You know how to play out in worship. You know how to sing out in worship. And it was really cool to watch that progression happen. And so to see where you are now, it's really, it should encourage us all. It encourages the heck out of me.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. And Chong, like, you have been instrumental in my life. Get the pun. Yeah.
But,
yeah. No, I really mean that. Like, God's used you in such an amazing way. Like, you have been that person that's called out in me, like, my purpose and the road that God wants me to be on, and just continue to encourage me, even like in my bad days or bad attitudes. And like, you're just like, nope, you're doing this. And she's like, yeah. So just thanks for doing that and like keeping me on board. And
yeah, you let me kind of talk me into you. And you're one of those detail oriented people. I've really enjoyed you take a song and then like, you have to nail the hook. Like, you got to get the hook and you always do it every time. And so many times I've seen you show up and I think to myself, I know Aaron has the hook. I know she does. And then to hear you like play it, I'll be like, Aaron, up to her tricks.
I know. I love like, kind of like keeping things from you a little bit, like hiding some ideas. And then like in the moment being like, hey,
this little cat and mouse.
And then, and then I just see you like look over me. I'm like, and we both know. And I'm like, yep, that was it.
Sometimes we have to pause practice and I'll be like, oh.
Yeah, we've had some good times for sure. So it's been a blessing.
Worship team is like that, though. We're a family. You know, we are a family that's up there and we love to gather together. We love to hang out together and we love to laugh together and we love to worship together. And honestly, it's been a privilege to have you on board. You've just been a really good addition to the team and a monumental addition to the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you didn't feel that at the beginning, but, you know, It was there all along.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Your giftings are a blessing to us, but mm-hmm. also just to the kingdom. Like that's why God gives us these giftings, these gifts that you have. It's to bless and edify his body. And we've been blessed by you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. It's not just your playing, you know,
no.
It's just you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just good to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And that's something I've been learning too. Cause like going into it, I had that mentality of like, I wanted to play well for the Lord. Like I wanted it to sound beautiful I was like so scared about making a mistake, you know? And then God told me what matters more to me is that you're willing and that you're worshiping. And it took me a long time to learn that. Like it was just this gradual process, you know, and there are days that it's like, I'm still going to struggle a little bit in that area. But for the most part, it's like, I'm grounded. Mm. I know that it's about my heart and it's about worshiping God. Mm-hmm. So we started to come out of the 7 years in the desert, so to speak. Bob Mason, who was going to Faith Center at the time, he was instrumental in my life also. He caught on right away that like I lacked like love and knowing what love was and that kind of thing. Cause I still did struggle with that more than I knew. And he just was like, kind of like a father to me. Like he just really poured into me, prayed for me, spoke some prophetic words over me and, you know, was just there. Like I knew he was loving and I could just always sense that from him. And so that was huge. And one of the scriptures that he spoke over me at the time, and this was actually right before I kind of had that breakdown. He spoke Jeremiah 29:10-4. And it says, and this is the ESV, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to this place from which I sent you into exile." And that was like super powerful because he didn't really know a lot of my backstory. And I knew that was from the Lord saying like, don't give up. Like I've brought you from Portland back to Le Grand. I'm going to restore you. Mm. So that I just really hung on to that verse for years. After that, I still do. So then I ended up transitioning. So I also hit this just hard place where God started to teach me, you know, how to stand up for myself more, how to be more in the relationship, make choices. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't tell any of that to Bob, but he ended up coming to me and just saying like, what do you really want to do with your life? And I was just like, and I just started crying because I was just like, I realized I didn't know. And it just felt so like empty and like dark. Like I was just like, I can't see what it is. But that was a pivotal point for me because then after that, God started to reveal to me at least the next step I was supposed to take. And I ended up getting a job at the hospital working in the billing office. And I thought maybe that was like the job I would end up doing maybe for the rest of my life. I don't know. You know, it did feel like, right. Like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I had that job for 4 years. It also helped that it was like more stable and that kind of thing. So Chris and I kind of felt like things were starting to like financially be better for us. Like we were just more grounded and we actually were able to buy our first home. Mm. Yeah. Which was amazing considering how many times we had moved and like the lack of stability in my life. And our home is awesome. It's 100 years old. So it has that character.
And yeah, you guys have done a lot of work in your house.
Yeah. We were able to like remodel it and which we still are, but we've done a lot and it's beautiful. And I just, I love it so much. So I tell Chris, I'm like, we're never going to move again. Like I'm going to die in this house. And he just was like, cause I think eventually he might want to move again, but, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm going with right now. But also within those 4 years, we started to try to have a family finally. And so that was awesome. And going into it, like I never thought before that we could possibly like struggle having kids or, you know, I was just like, oh, once we start trying, we'll just have kids. Like it's all gonna. And then so like a year goes by and I was like, oh, still don't have a kid. But, you know, that's not necessarily uncommon. So like you know, we went another year, and then I started to like have some like issues that were kind of coming up, and I ended up having like a surgery. And so we're like, okay, so maybe that was why we couldn't have kids. And so now we were like, I think two and a half years into it, and still no kid, you know, so we're like waiting. And then it was like three and a half years into it, all of a sudden I was like, I'm pregnant. Like, I just like got pregnant. It was totally a miracle. And so I actually got pregnant, and we were just so happy because, you know, after all those years of like waiting and then now like not being able to have kids, and it was just like, we were overjoyed, but we only knew for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I ended up miscarrying. And so that was like devastating just after all we had been through. Mm-hmm. And also it was really hard because when I was miscarrying, Chris was that next morning going to leave on a 3-day business trip. And he was really excited about the business trip. And so I was like, I can't tell him like what, and I was like, what do I do? And I don't know how I did it, but I somehow kept it from him, and he left. And I just remember like once he was gone, like I had a total breakdown, and I was just alone. I was the only one that knew. And so I was just, I can't even describe to you like the pain that comes with that and him like not being there to support me either. So I was just, you know, in my house, just crying. I mean, I imagine, so it was 3 days, and I imagine like, maybe that's how Mary felt like when Jesus died, and for 3 days she was just in anguish, like crying. And actually a miracle happened. Like I heard a knock on my door, and a couple of my friends showed up, and they didn't really say anything. They were just there for me. Mm-hmm. And it just really like impacted my life so much and showed me how important people are. Mm-hmm. And like relationships are. Like, yes, people hurt people, but people also love people. So that was just really amazing, having their support. And then when Chris got back, like, you know, I had to relive it again and tell him. So that was super hard. And what's also really interesting is my baby died on my dad's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I just remember asking God, like, okay, first off, like, why did he have to die? And like, why on my dad's birthday? You know, and I just like straight up asked him, and he answered me. I was like, okay, cool. but this is kind of interesting. So before I was born, back to my, you know, baby picture, before I was born, they actually thought I was going to be a boy. And so they're going to name me Aaron Richard after my dad. And what's funny is Chris's middle name is Richard after his grandpa. Mm. And so we had always talked about like, well, should we keep like Richard in the family, you know, that kind of thing. And so he died on my dad's birthday because it symbolizes Richard. And he told me that he had to die in order to bring restoration and healing to our family. And so like our family legacy. So it was like interesting. So my baby is up in heaven right now, like doing amazing things on behalf of our family. And like, he's a warrior up there. And like, that's really awesome, you know, when I think about it. And the other cool thing is, it was like, I think that night, actually, I woke out of my sleep and he gave me a vision of my baby, and I got to see him. Like, if I could paint well, I could paint a picture of him, but it was really cool. I saw him. So it was just him, and he was like playing, and then he stopped and he turned and he smiled at me with this little grin. Mm. And we just had this connection. He knew I was his mom, and it was just like amazing. So we just like locked eyes, and then he like ran off to his left and kept playing, and I kind of followed him. And then Jesus was there, and there's just a sea of kids, like just heads of like all these babies, like around his age. And it was interesting because he was a baby, but he was kind of like the size of a toddler, and they're all like that size, and they're all just jumping up and down and playing with Jesus. And like, it was just super bright, and like, it was just amazing to like be able to see him up there. So I know that I had a son. So we ended up naming him Denton Richard. And so Denton means happy at home. Mm. So it reminds me of my vision. Like, he's happy at home with Jesus.
Wow.
You know, it's hard because we haven't been able to get pregnant since then. It's probably been like almost 5 years now, I think. So it is hard, like, not being able to start a family. But I know I'm going to see him again. And I know that, like, he is doing mighty things up in heaven, and he never had to suffer on this earth. So I'm working at the hospital, and around that same time, like, Chris has always been involved with video, like filming weddings and like filming commercial work. And we've always had a side business doing that for the most part. You know, we started, like, he started to really like grow it around that time. And then I realized that like I should be more involved with it too. And I just never like realized that before. You know, like we would go out and like, you know, shoot together, and but I just always felt like I had to do all these other jobs and things. And so I started to get curious about it, and I started like learning a lot more like about video editing and helping him. And I was like, whoa, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, it was right in front of me all along. And yeah. And so just like, it kind of baffles me just to think about that. Like, it was just like right in front of my face all along. But for some reason I had to wait to figure that out. But yeah, I started to just like fall in love with it. And then our business started to really take off. And so like 6 months before COVID and the fall, I felt a nudge to quit my job and like just pursue our business full time, because one of us really needed to cut back because we weren't able to keep up with the work. And so it made sense at the time. And so that's what I did. And then right after that, God revealed some things, underlying problems with my health that I didn't know about. And that was actually one of the ways that he confirmed to me that I made the right choice, because I started like dealing with some symptoms and things, and it really helped like having the flexibility of my job to like deal with that. And then he also revealed it in other ways too. So I know I made the right choice, but it was also like a time. So it was a hard time because it was like, you know, could this be like why we can't have kids, which we don't know for sure. But so like as a woman, it was just hard for me to deal with that. Like thinking, oh my gosh, like it could be me, like I could be the problem. But, you know, God's reassured me, like, it's not your will, it's my will. You know, I want it to be about God. It's not about what I want, like this life. You know, if he has a different path for me, then that's going to be the best path. And that's okay. And so I've kind of come to terms with it more, like, like now I just have like mixed feelings. Like, I think I probably still would be happy to have a family, but I'm also content without. Like, I think knowing what job I'm supposed to have with doing our video business has like helped me like cope through the loss of not being able to have a family, or maybe never be able to have a family. So that's actually been good to know that.
Well, so much of your story, you mentioned falling into this trap of feeling loved because of what you do. Feeling accomplished because of your grades, feeling respected because of this, feeling loved and needed because of this. So in this time, I just feel like God is saying, Aaron, you're loved because of who you are, not because of your ability to be a mother or not be a mother. That's not why Christ loves you. So thank you for sharing the story of Denton. But I want to remind you that you are loved because of who you are. And it's not because of anything you do on this earth that Christ died for you. It's because of who you are. So I know I've prayed with you and Chris that you could have a family, but we also know that we believe God can and his will be done. But in the meantime, while we wait to know God's will, know that you are so deeply loved because of who you are, not because you're going to be a mother or not going to be a mother, because you're a daughter of the King of Kings.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. I can never hear that enough, by the way.
Well, now Trong's going to say it. We're just going to go around the room.
I personally love you deeply, Aaron.
You are so loved.
Thank you.
For reals.
Yeah, but no, I'm really glad you said that, because I needed to hear that again, obviously, and because that is what God has been telling me. So I'm glad that you brought that out. And I think that's partly why I've learned how to be just content with whatever happens. Is like I'm starting to rest in him more and in his purpose for me, whatever that may be.
Yeah. There is a cultural pressure that are on women to be a mom. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's a God-given gift that a woman can become a mother. But we also need to recognize the cultural pressure that, that it's not what gives you value. So we can always, always, always celebrate that it's not the things you do, it's who you are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So why don't you share your heart with people and give them some advice? Maybe somebody somewhere is going through this very thing right now, and then we'll wrap it up. But I want you to share some thoughts and some perspective with somebody that might be dealing with this right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I kind of just want to just lay out some scripture.
Do it.
Because scripture is what?
It's the very best preacher. Yeah.
Yep.
It's what we can hold on to. It's what can shut out the enemy. It's what can heal our minds. Mm-hmm. These are all from the ESV, and I'm going to start with John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then James 5:7-9. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And then Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yeah, so it's all about God. Like, when we are weak, he is strong. And, you know, I at times just knew I did not have it all together, and I never will have it all together. And that's the perfect place to be. Like Cameron was saying, like, God loves you for who you are and who he made you to be. And he made you in the image of his son, Jesus, who sacrificed his life and died so that you can have salvation and live in eternity forever with him and be free of sin and the sufferings and tribulation of this world. But take heart, because in this world you will have tribulation and there will be sufferings and things are not going to go your way or how you expect. But it's good, because God's in control and he loves you and he has something even better planned for you. And that's something I'm still learning right now. You know, I thought, like, my purpose was to, like, be a stay-at-home mom. That was something I always longed for. And now it's gone a completely different direction, and where I'm a business owner. But I'm learning that I love that. Like, I didn't know that about myself, but God knew it. And so I'm just stepping into what he has for me. Mm. And when I do that, and when I let go of control, that's when the beauty happens. And that's when I can be used in a mighty way for his kingdom. And that's worth living for. Yeah, it's just amazing, because it seems so easy, but it can be really hard to do that. But when I am in that place, it's just everything flows, and my relationship with my husband is better. My relationship with other people are better, and I can find joy and hope again. Even if sufferings are going on, you know, I can find true joy in Christ, and he's my anchor, he's my rock, and he's my song, my forever song, and he's always worthy of my praise. If you're suffering right now, just in any way, you've lost a child, if you've lost a loved one, if there's a lot of grief in your life, if there's a lot of regret, if there's been a lot of hurts that have been done to you, and maybe even things that you've done to other people, nothing's too big for God, that he wants you to come to him and lay it at his feet, mm-hmm. and finally just be done with it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to hold on to it any longer. Yeah. Nothing's too big for him. He wants you. He just wants you for who you are. He loves you. Yeah. And no matter what you've done, just let him come into your life and let go of your control. You will see a mighty work done in your life. And this life is short. It's not about us, and we don't know things. We don't know what's coming ahead, but God does. And that's what's pushed me forward, is just believing that and having faith.
That's good.
So I hope that you, listener, can do that as well. And so I kind of think I should pray right now, and then I should wrap us out.
Yeah.
good plan.
Actually wrap us out.
I'm not sure what the wrap's going to look like, but it's improv. So
yeah, you should definitely pray over this moment. It's a beautiful moment. Thank you again for sharing about your story.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And yeah, Father, I thank you, Lord, for being who you are so that I can live this life with purpose. And because through you, I have purpose. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my life and saving me from my sins and death and separation from you, that I can look forward to what will happen after this life and look forward to being with you in heaven and being with my son Denton and just my other loved ones. And I thank you that you're also going to come again, that it's not over. There's eternity lying ahead of us. And I just pray for the listener, Lord, that whatever hurts they're going through, you see it. It's not too big for you. And I pray that they would allow you to come into their life and just see you for who you really are, and that you are gentle and lowly in heart and you love them and you can bring healing and restoration to their life. And I pray that for hope, that we all would have a bigger hope and faith than ever before. I just thank you for how you've worked in my life and what you've carried me through and how you've protected me, how you've sustained me and given me what I need, and that I can worship and that I can sing to you again and sing to you from my heart, all of my heart, without feeling like I have to perform or look a certain way, that I just need to be me and that's all. And that kind of love is amazing, and that's what can drive us forward. So I just thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Somebody lay down a beat.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, Aaron. Thanks for sharing your story. Yeah. Would you lay us down a fat beat over there?
Sam, I am a white man.
You got this.
I believe. You got this.
Why do I have it?
You're the one with the fat beats.
Yeah, we know.
All right. Fattest. Here we go. You beats. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this. Ready? Let me think about.
You're put on the spot.
I know, it's okay.
Yo, we're sitting in here in the podcast. I got Cameron on my left, Sam in front, Chong on my... Wait, you're on my left, Chong. Yo, Jesus is the rock, and he's awesome.
Love it. Thank you, listener, for joining. This was a great interview that we got to have with Aaron Watts. Yeah, I almost said Watts. I meant Wands. Aaron Wands. Thank you for joining us, listener. And we hope to see you next week. Goodbye.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.